But today I want to talk to you about finding wisdom. What, you know, I think in hard times, people need wisdom. And we're going to get into why, the why of that and how, really. But wisdom. So turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, something that I have, it's new for me, a new habit that I've been getting into is, how many know how many chapters are in the book of Proverbs? 31. You guys are on point today. 31. How many days are in half of the months of the year? 31. Man, you guys are math geniuses. 31. What does that lend to? A chapter a day. Hello. I'm telling you, that's easy to remember, isn't it? Because let me tell you, if you lack wisdom, I know that the Word says we can ask and God gives it to us liberally, those that need it, right? But He's given us it already, and the book of Proverbs is an excellent place to start. So I want to encourage you, this is what I'm on chapter 5, but I have endeavored to read a chapter, and don't do more, listen, don't read ahead. Don't speed on. Take your time with it. You know, even if you just get 5 minutes, and that's probably all it would take you to read a chapter in Proverbs. Even if you just get that endeavor. This is like a faith assignment, okay? This is like your homework for the month and beyond. One proverb, one chapter a day. Every day, just open up a new proverb and read it. I'm telling you, there is something to starting your day with the Word of God. It's not a mystical thing. It's not a mystery. It's a truth, I believe. It's a fact that if you will start your day with the Word of God, don't click on the TV to CNN or MSNBC or Fox News. Don't let that be the first thing you do. Don't open up your Facebook the first thing when you open your eyes in your bed. Don't do that. I'm telling you, open up the Bible app instead and just read a proverb. Start your day off right. And not only will it help you in your day, it'll help you with your relationships. It'll help you in your job. It will help you around the house. It will, I'm telling you, it will bless you. So I'm not saying thus is a commandment from Todd, but it is a highly suggested task. Is that? I'm getting real wordy here. A proverb a day. It don't take long. And then I would say, if you have time, then chew on that proverb. You know, don't just read it. Just, you know, some people just read just to read, right? And there's times for that, I think, where we just, you know, we just read and it's what we do. But there's times also to really digest and meditate on what we're reading. So anyways, proverb a day. Y'all got it? Are you in Proverbs chapter 4 yet? See, I done already skipped 3 of them for you. We just moved right ahead. But Proverbs chapter 4, this is what I want to talk about. I'm finding wisdom. And this one I think is suitable for today because it's talking about a father's instruction to his children. You know, Solomon, the author of this proverb, and I believe probably all of them, is talking to his children here in Proverbs 4. So it's fitting for today on Father's Day. And I'm just going to read down and I'll interject here and there as we read. But verse 1, oh my gosh, you don't have the words up. What are you going to do? Oh, hey. I hope everybody's got their Bibles with them, okay? And even if that, you might not have my translation. I think I'm reading out of King James of all these, except for one, and I'll let you know which one it is. I'll be out of the Amplified because I have a parallel Bible. I don't have to change Bibles. Isn't that cool? All right, finding wisdom. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding." And let me just say, this is, you know, on Father's Day, I'll give a little plug here. And I hope I gave mothers as much time as I have fathers this morning, but probably not because I'm a little biased. I don't know. But isn't that bad? I know my wife's giving me the eye. I'm going to walk over here and talk to y'all for a little bit. Every father wants children to hear his instruction. I would say if you're a father in here, you probably would agree with that. Every father wants their children to listen to them, right? And hopefully obey. And hopefully they are giving them godly instruction, right? They're not giving them some, you know, worldly off crazy chart stuff. But every father, I believe, wants their children to hear their instruction. Verse 2 says, "For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved of the sight of my mother." And this is generational. This is something, I'm telling you, the things that we teach our children, they are not just for our children. If you get a generational viewpoint or mindset, that what you are doing for your children are not just for them. They are for your children's children and your children's children's children. You are passing on a legacy down the line. And if you think long term, see, today we don't, I don't know, just in everything, and whether it's finances or planning or different things, I don't think we have that long term vision like I believe they used to quite a bit. You know, I mean, they would think hundreds of years, generations would be the thought process. But as you are raising up your children, and listen, if you don't have natural children, I believe you have spiritual children. And you can apply this to spiritual children as well. As you are pouring into those children, it is not just for those children. It is for the generations that come after them as well. And so when you think about it that way, it kind of gives it a little bit more weight, you know. It kind of gives it a little bit more oomph, if you will, to really be intentional about what you do and what you share and how you do it. Amen? Says verse 4, "He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live." Verse 5, "Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth." And, you know, wisdom is to be gotten. You know, there may be some things you can catch as they float by, I don't know, but wisdom is to be gotten. You know, you're to be intentional about going after wisdom. You can't just, I don't believe, get it by, you know, osmosis. I can't, you know, sit here with this book on my head for 8 hours a day and expect to get all the wisdom out of it. I have to be intentional about it. I have to open it up. I have to read what's in it. I have to meditate on it, think on it, you know, process it. We have to be intentional about getting wisdom because the word says get it. We have to pursue it. We have to be intentional, especially in a day like today, right? I mean, look, we think that times are bad out there, and they are. And we think this is the worst time in all of history, but it's not, okay? There have been bad times in the history of the world before. Ask any Jewish person. They can tell you about 6 million lives that were lost in the Holocaust. And that's just in Germany. That doesn't even count the Soviet Union and, you know, all the other areas there over in Europe and here as well, probably. But there have been bad times. And guess what? We're still here. We're going to get through this. Don't ever lose hope. Hope is never lost. There is always hope, no matter what situation you find yourself in. There is always hope. Amen. But we're to get wisdom. Verse 6 says, "Forsake her not." He's talking about wisdom. "And she shall preserve thee." Listen, these are some promises. When you go after wisdom, she shall preserve thee. "Love her, and she shall keep thee." Verse 7, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." Principal thing, it's a principal thing. Definition of principles: most important, consequential, influential. It's the chief thing. You know, in Ephesians, I think it is, it calls Jesus the chief cornerstone, right? The principal, the most important part of the building, because all else pulls its lines off of that cornerstone. Well, it says wisdom is the principal thing. In other translations, in fact, it says, get it at all costs. Whatever it costs you, get wisdom. Why? Because it can keep you. It can preserve you. Verse 8, it says, exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory, and she shall deliver to thee. And glory shall she deliver to thee. You know, it's grace and wisdom kind of go hand in hand there, it would seem like to me. When you get wisdom, you receive grace. Doesn't that make sense? When you get wisdom, understanding about who Jesus is and who you are in Jesus, then grace is received at the same time. Amen? Does that make sense? Are y'all getting encouraged? All right. Are y'all awake? Amen. Praise God. Is it hot in here? Yes, it is, Cheryl. Yeah, whoo. Verse 10, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. When you get wisdom, she extends your life. You know, I know it says we're not promised tomorrow, but I see other areas in the scripture where there are things that we can do that says it will give us long life. Psalm 91. Amen. I will satisfy you with long life. Get wisdom, and she will give you long life. Extend your years. Your life shall be many. Years of life shall be many. By grace, I believe, by grace. Verse 11, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall be straightened, shall not be straightened, excuse me. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. When we get wisdom, I think we can be confident in the way that we go. We can be confident in the steps of our path. And we can be confident about how we go. It says it right there. Right? It says your steps shall not be straightened. When we're going in wisdom, that means we're going the right way. And we can be confident in that. We're all unique, right? My path does not look like your path. I'm going to walk on different stepping stones than you are. Because each one of us is unique. We each have a purpose, I believe, here in this life. And we each can reach different people. We don't live in one of those neighborhoods where every house looks the same. Y'all ever seen those? Maybe it's only in the movies. I don't know. But I've been in some neighborhoods where you go around, and I mean, you can go up and down the streets, and every single house is exactly the same. I don't know how you find your way home at night. Be pulling up into your neighbor's house and knocking on the door or trying to use your key. But we're all different. We're all unique. We're all created to be unique. You know, it's okay to look to someone and aspire to, you know, be like them or endeavor to reach out the way they do. But listen, you are not them. You are your own you. And you've got to find who that is. And once you find that, once you understand and know who you are in Christ, the uniqueness that is in you, that is only in you, then you become powerful. You become powerful for the kingdom. Amen? So we can be confident in the way that we go when we find wisdom and go after wisdom. Now let's go back to Proverbs chapter 3. I'm working my way back to get y'all caught up. Okay? We're going from 4 to 3. And let me just read a few verses out of that, starting in verse 13. It says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. How many want to be happy? How many are just happy every day, all day of your life? Ron is. Oh, praise God. He'll be even happier when he gets that big trophy. Number one, chili champion. But it says that you're happy when you find wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She, wisdom, is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Everybody, we love to quote that, don't we? I mean, we've heard that quote, better than silver, better than gold, more precious than rubies. But what did chapter 4 says? It said to go after it no matter what it cost. No matter what it cost. Are we willing to give up some things to get it? There's a thought. There's a thought. Get it at no matter what it costs. Verse 16 says, length of days is in her right hand. There again, long life. And in her left hand, riches and honor. You know, what is sowing and reaping? You know, what does Luke tell us about giving? It says, give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together. Running over shall men give into your bosom. Sowing and reaping. You know, when you sow, you're going to reap a harvest. Well, that's what it's saying here. When you give all that you can to get wisdom, guess what? You're going to get more back when you find wisdom, when you go after it, when you're intentional about getting it. Verse 17 says, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. All her paths are peace. I'd say to you that if you don't have peace about something, then there's a piece of wisdom that you're lacking about it, maybe. Does that make sense? I've heard it. I remember Pastor Rob saying it. I'll just give him credit. I'll give you credit, Pastor Rob, but it says, you know, let peace be your umpire. Have you ever heard him say that? Let peace be the umpire. Let peace be the umpire between your soul and your spirit. You know, we understand from Scripture that they are always at each other, right? The soulless realm and the spiritual realm always at each other. And we have to let peace be the umpire between those two. And when we find peace, then we know that's the way we should go. I'm telling you, when it comes to, you can apply this to any area of your life. If you don't have peace about something, I wouldn't do it. Not until you, it just may not be the right, it's not that it might not be the right thing to do, it just may not be the right time, the right people might not be involved, I don't know. But when you don't have peace about it, don't move forward. See, we get so, we want it now, we got to do it now, and it might be a great thing, it might be a good thing, and we want to go for it now, but you don't have that peace about it, I'm telling you, the timing is not right. You've got to find out why you don't have peace. It might just be a piece of knowledge that you're missing for the moment or something. But you've got to pursue wisdom and get wisdom about it so that the peace comes about it and you can move forward. Amen? Wisdom, verse 18, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. And happy, there's that word happy again, is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. I wrote this down. Long life without grace is misery. Long life without grace is misery. And this one individual comes to my mind, an elderly gentleman we knew years ago, since has gone on to be with the Lord, I pray. But he was a miserable man. Miserable. I don't know if he knew the Lord. I'll say this, he went to church. But he was a miserable man. Every moment of his life seemed he was just in misery. There was no grace in him. There was no grace in his words. There was no grace in his actions. I don't think he had wisdom. I don't think he had peace about anything. Long life. And he was old. He was old. Long life without grace is misery. Verse 23, then shalt thou walk in thy way safely. Listen, you get wisdom, you go after wisdom, you'll walk in your way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble, you won't stumble. When thou liest down, I'm telling you, this is going to be key for somebody in here, these next few verses. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Thou sleep shall be sweet. Anybody suffer from nightmares, night terrors, visions in the night that aren't pleasant, whatever you want to call them, get wisdom. Get wisdom. Because when you get wisdom, when you understand who you are in Christ, when you understand your eternal destiny, when you know the end from the beginning, everything in between comes less scary. Does that make sense? When you know the end from the beginning, just as God does, He knows the end from the beginning. We, as born-again believers, understand and know our eternal destination. When we know the end from our beginning, it should make everything in between less scary. And when we get a revelation of that, we can be at peace. We can be less afraid, and we shall have sweet sleep. Sweet sleep. Because I don't know about y'all, but when I don't get enough sleep, it's not good, is it, baby? It's not good. We all need sleep. We all need that sleep. Peaceful, sweet, restful sleep. Amen? How do we get it? Go after wisdom. We're going to get to what we do to go after wisdom in just a second. Verse 25 says, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. Sudden fear. There is fear running rampant in the earth today. Fear is around every corner. Anytime you walk down the street, fear can pop out from any corner. But you're to fear not. Amen. How many times is it in the Bible? I don't know, 400 and some. Fear not. Fear not. Do not fear. Well, how do you do that? Well, you get wisdom. You get wisdom. 26. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. The Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. We need wisdom for today. We need wisdom for today. How does this all apply to us? Well, you have to understand that, and I love this definition of wisdom. Why do I love it so much? Because I came up with it. Wisdom. I don't know why Webster's hasn't contacted me yet about putting this in their dictionary, but wisdom. The ability to apply knowledge to gain understanding. Wisdom. The ability to apply knowledge to gain understanding. Proverbs says to get wisdom, we need to get the ability to apply knowledge so that we gain understanding about something. Does that make sense? So first, though, we need the knowledge, right? We need the knowledge. Where is the knowledge of God contained? Hello. Wham. Right here. Knowledge of God. Also, right here. With the Spirit of God. Amen? The Bible. The Bible contains the wisdom of God. The Spirit contains the wisdom of God. And the wiser we become, or the greater, I should say, our ability or our wisdom to gain understanding, we must, what do we have to understand, right? What do we have to understand? And what am I talking about mainly here? I'm talking about peace today. When you get wisdom, you're going to get peace. You're going to get peace. You know, in this world, it says you'll have trouble, doesn't it? Does it anywhere say that we are exempt from all trouble or any trouble? It says that we will have trouble. But we're not of this world. We have overcome this world by our faith. Why? This is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Our hope is not in the things of this world, but of another that is to come. Listen, I just read it out of 2 Peter. I'm just trying to stir you up. These are all things you know. Amen? These are all things that you should understand. I'm just trying to stir you up in these things. I'm fanning that flame so that it burns brighter inside of you, so that when you can, that light will go out to more. That light will go out to more. But that doesn't mean that we have to suffer in this world because of the troubles. I mean, abundant life that Jesus died to give us doesn't mean that there isn't trouble. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean the absence of trouble. It just means that your hope is in Christ and it carries you through the trouble. It carries you through the trouble. Your attitude about the trouble is different than those of the world. Amen? Those without hope. Those that are in the world that don't have a relationship with Jesus are without hope. So they are in fear. They are cowering in fear because there is no hope. They think that this is all there is. And if this life is all there is, and this immense pressure and trouble is coming down on me, what am I to do? What am I to do? Can you see how they would think that way? I know that's foreign to us because we think in a different way. We know that, and from the beginning, we know that our eternal destiny is secure in Christ Jesus. But those without hope, they are cowering in fear. That's where the fear is attacking them. But we have the answer. We have the hope inside of us, the hope to give them. Amen? Amen. Proverbs 3, verse 6. Let me just back up here. It says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." Health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. People without hope, they trust in their own intellect. We're not to do that. Rather, acknowledge God. We've heard, seek first the kingdom of God. Right? When we do that, all those things will be added unto us. In Proverbs, we just read, when we go get wisdom, he'll add riches and honor to you and length of days. And then we just heard health. He will add those things unto us. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I know I'm covering a lot of ground today. I just believe that we need more resources to help the people around us. We need more ammunition, if you will, to help those around us. So hopefully that's what I'm doing today, is I'm giving you resources, giving you ammunition to use out there in the world. Not to mow them down, you know, but to encourage them. That's what I mean. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 says, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." It's talking about intellectuals, really, you know. And now listen, I know that there are some intellectuals out here in this body. Don't worry, it says not many, okay? So you're part of the sum, okay? You still get in. You intellectuals still get in. There's still some that are. This says not many. Verse 27 said, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are." What are the foolish things of the world that he's talking about? Well, you only need to back up one, or look to the next chapter in chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, to find out what those are. It says in verse 13, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The things of the Spirit of God are foolishness to the world. The things that we believe and understand and know as our right by the blood of Jesus are foolishness to them. It's foolishness to them. And wisdom, guess what, is one of those things. It's one of those things. In fact, it's the principal, the chief, the most important thing. When you find the wisdom of the Scriptures, then you will have peace and safety from the trouble in this present world. And that's how you should be. When people are walking around, running around, you know, rioting, their hearts are failing them for fear of everything that's going on, and you are just staying the course, man. You're cool as a cucumber. You are just in peace. And they can't understand that. It'll seem like foolishness to them. But it is wisdom to you. Amen? Because we look to another country. Because we look to our eternal destination. A wise man that I know says it all the time. It's but a mist, but a vapor, but a puff of smoke. This world is temporary. And so when we know the end from the beginning, we ought not let it affect us the way we do sometimes. And we should be the answer to the ones that it is affecting negatively. Amen? That is our hope. That is the hope that we want to convey to them. Y'all, I've got like 12 pages here. Can y'all believe that? Normally, four is my normal. 12. We're going to wrap it up here, though. 2 Peter chapter 3. Turn over there. I'm going to look at verses 9 through 18 out of the Amplified. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 out of the Amplified. It says, "The Lord does not delay and is not tardy or slow about what..." Here I'm giving you plenty of time to put the words up, and I just realized there's no words. Oh. All right. Anyways. Verse 9, "The Lord does not delay and is not tardy or slow about what he promises, according to some people's conception of slowness, but he is long-suffering, extraordinarily patient toward you, not desiring that any should perish, but that all should turn to repentance." That's the same today as it was, you know, 1,000 years ago. He wants all to turn to repentance. He wants all. He sent his Son for all. Amen. Verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will vanish or pass away with a thunderous crash, and the material elements of the universe will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and the works that are upon it will be burned up. Since all these things are thus in the process of being dissolved, what kind of person ought each of you to be in the meanwhile? In consecrated and holy behavior and devout and godly qualities, while you wait and earnestly long for and expect and hasten the coming of the day of God, by reason of which the flaming heavens will be dissolved and the material elements of the universe will flare and melt with fire. But we..." Someone say "I." "But I look for new heavens and a new earth, according to his promise, in which righteousness, uprightness, freedom from sin, and right standing with God is to abide." The end from the beginning. Verse 14, "So beloved, since you are expecting these things, be eager to be found by him at his coming without spot or blemish, and at peace, in serene confidence, free from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts." And let me just say this. How are we to be found without spot and blemish? Is it because of our works, because of what we do, because we take a bath 3 times a day? It is by the blood of Jesus and the blood of Jesus alone that you are without spot or blemish, okay? By the blood of Jesus. Verse 15, and consider that the long suffering of our Lord, His slowness in avenging wrongs and judging the world is salvation. That which is conducive to the soul's safety. Even as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you, according to the spiritual insight given him. Speaking of this as he does in all of his letters. Speaking of what? Speaking of what? It's the same thing we are to be speaking of all the time. Salvation. Salvation. How are you to be saved? By the blood of Jesus. By a relationship, personal relationship with the Son of God, with Jesus Himself. That is what Paul spoke of in all his letters. There are some things in those epistles of Paul that are difficult to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist and misconstrue to their own utter destruction, just as they distort and misinterpret the rest of the Scriptures. We don't twist and misconstrue the Scriptures. Why? Because we have wisdom. You are all wise beyond your years. You need to think of yourself that way. You are wise beyond your years because of the Word of God that you have put into you day after day after day. Receive that wisdom. Get that wisdom. Verse 17, let me warn you therefore, beloved, that knowing these things beforehand, you should be on your guard, lest you be carried away by the error of lawless and wicked persons and fall from your own present firm condition, your own steadfastness of mind. You are firmly planted. Your roots go deep. You are planted in the Lord. Stay the course. Stand until you can't stand anymore, and therefore stand. Continue to stand. Amen. Verse 18, but grow in grace. Remember we said how wisdom and grace go hand in hand? As you get wisdom more and more, you get more and more grace. Grow in grace, that undeserved favor, spiritual strength, and recognition and knowledge and understanding of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Messiah. To Him be glory, honor, majesty, and splendor both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. 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 Let me just finish up with these last two scriptures. James chapter 1, verses 4 through 6. Again, familiar scripture to you. James 1, 4 says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. If we don't have the wisdom that we're talking about today, you can ask and he will give it to you liberally. Liberally. And then finally, James chapter 3, verse 17 and 18 says this, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. I'm telling you, if you will just follow after peace, and if you will, when you come to a fork in the road, and you don't know which way to go, there's a scene in The Lord of the Rings where the company is on a journey and Gandalf is with them and they're going under the mountain into the mines of the dwarves. And they don't know which way to go. So their leader, I'll just say that, their leader sits on a rock for, I don't know, I mean, it seems like hours, may have been days, until he knew which way to go. We need to be more like that sometimes. We need to be able to just step back, sit down, be quiet on the inside until that peace reigns on the inside and we know without the shadow of a doubt which way to go in that decision. And so many times, let me point my fingers right here, we get in such a hurry. We don't let patience have her perfect play. We get in such a hurry. We feel, whether it's external pressure for us to make a decision, or we put that pressure on ourselves, whatever it may be, we rush into something without having peace about it. And usually it doesn't, if it can end up okay, but it may not be the best that it could have been. But sometimes, more often than not, probably it doesn't work out to our benefit when we rush into something and we don't have peace about it. Now, you can rush into stuff and have perfect peace. It's not a time issue, right? It's not like the more time that I take to make a decision, the better the decision is going to be. That's not the case. It's peace. Peace is the answer. So if you can just wait, let patience have her perfect play. Wait on that peace before you make that decision. It'll make the difference. And you will have wisdom. You will have gotten wisdom. And when you get wisdom, you get all those other benefits. Amen? How's this been today? Good? Are you encouraged? Are you uplifted? Do you have ammunition, something you can take out into the world with you and minister to those without peace? Because that is the goal here, people. You know, time is getting shorter. Time is not stretching out and getting longer. Time as we know it is going to come to an end. Now, there will be an eternity which will go on and on. But I'm talking about in this earth. Time is getting shorter. And there are people all over this world, many of them right here in the New River Valley, that need to know the love of God, the peace of God. And you are an ambassador for Christ. Amen? Well, Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus that these words have fallen on ears, that you've given them to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Father, that we are encouraged as your church to go out and make disciples, to go out and preach the good news, to go out and share what Jesus you came and died for, and that is to release the captives and to remove those that are in oppression, bring sight to the blind. Oh, Lord, thank you for this important ministry that you've given us, the ministry of reconciliation, reconciling those that are lost back to you, the Creator of all of us, all through your Son and his blood that he shed on the cross. All because of Jesus are we able to do this. And we thank you. And we say we love you. We love you. And we know that you love us. And all God's people said, amen, so be it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, glory to God. I pray that this day greets you in peace, in health, in tremendous joy and happiness. And as you go out into the world, you take all of that with you. All of that with you. Because you are a light. You are a beacon. As you are an ambassador for Christ, you know, it says that we can run into His tower, His place of refuge. We can hide under His pinions, under His wings. And there's healing in those wings, as we read. The Son of Righteousness arises with healing in His wings. Well, guess what? I believe you were created in the image of the Creator. And that you can offer those things to people. You can offer those same things to others, just as you have provided unto you by the Creator of the universe. Just keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. And follow peace. Amen?
Amen.
Well, praise God. I love you all. I'm so glad that we're back together and we'll continue to do this. Thank you again as we prepare to with video equipment to continue to make improvements in that area. And for those that can't make it in, I know it's been a blessing to some that just can't make it here. Jim?
I failed to mention something.
Yes.
She was able to hold this week.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise you, Jesus. How long has that process been going
on? Well, she'll be two on July the 12th.
Yeah.
And they knew when Carly was pregnant that she had a heart defect. And so she had two open heart surgeries.
Yeah.
And then she was in the hospital for 8 months the last time.
8 months.
Almost totally off drugs, and she's coming out blossoming in the real Joanna is before us.
Praise God. That is supernatural. Supernatural. Because I'm telling you, I've been in ICU for 8 days, and I know how it affected me and how it has still affects those around me and myself. What a miracle. What a testimony. What a praise report. My. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are still the healer. You are still among us. God, you are still on the throne. And Father, you still, the miracles are at work every day in this earth. And we thank God for the supernatural miracles occurring. We thank God for supernatural healing. We thank God for the gifts of the Spirit that have been given unto us to go out and testify of your goodness in this earth. Father, I just lift up the family right now. Joanna and the parents and all the extended members and even the nurses and the doctors and those that have been around this child for all this time. And I just thank God for them. I thank God for them. And there are many people going through many things. And I thank God for those that come alongside and undergird them and lift them up and hold them up when they can't hold themselves up. Strengthen them for the days ahead. Strengthen them for these times. Give them strength, supernatural strength. Oh, to lift up, to underpin, to undergird, to hold up those that can't hold up themselves. Oh, just like Aaron and Hur did with Moses. Oh, glory to God. We need the standbys. We need those that will come beside us. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you for those souls. Encourage them today, Holy Spirit. Minister to their heart. Redeem lost time. You're the Redeemer. Glory be to God. Glory be to God.